SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Sunday, Bloody Sunday has begun. Sirius XM channel 159. We've got a full house here this evening. Mo Khan will bat the leadoff. We've got Jason B. Takafin kicking with us, talking baseball. We're talking NBA Finals, CFL football, F1, UFC, and everything else in between, including the Stanley Cup Finals with Ian Cameron. A.K. Babano will step up and join us. So we got Mo Khan, Jason B. Takafin, and Babano. It's the calm before the storm, and it's kind of, you know, we knew coming into the weekend that there was no NBA basketball, but now that here we are on Sunday night, it just, I don't know, it seems, I don't understand the method to the NBA's madness, and there's smarter people, higher pay grade, smarter people, better educated, and all that other stuff that make these decisions, but seems to me that it was a bad decision. You know, like really, you played on Friday. Friday's not a good TV night, so you played on Friday. Then you don't play Saturday or Sunday, but now you're going to be playing Monday again when people are, like, back to work. Like, think about, like, tonight. Like, think about how many people would have watched the NBA tonight. You know, in the past, I've defended them. Like, people have said, how come they're not playing on Saturday? And how come they're waiting 3 days and this and that? And I said, wow, because Sunday's a big day for them on TV. If you recall, I said, yeah, the NBA Finals, like, they like Sundays. So, like, for the love of God, like, why wouldn't they play this Sunday? And I get, well, they have to go coast to coast and all this. It's like, yeah, but whatever. You could have just made a better schedule to begin with. All right, so speaking of schedule, Stanley Cup starts on Wednesday. So we don't have to wait that long. Although the Avalanche are going to be off for, like, 8-9 days, right? What did they win? I think it was last Monday. So I think it's going to end up being like 9 days when it's all said and done. The Tampa Bay Lightning, plus 155. We told you last week. We did a video. And I swear, man, those videos, man, we crush it. We did that pick video that we posted on Saturday. And I think the only thing that didn't hit was the Tampa Bay Lightning minus a goal and a half. And obviously that was, you know, we were pushing the envelope a little bit there, plus money. But we smoked, absolutely smoked it. Like, we could not have done any better in the CFL, like, really. I mean, like, I think we won every CFL bet that we made. Like, literally, I think we won, like, every CFL bet that we made, except maybe a couple of touchdown score props. But even the touchdown score props, we hit a 10-1 the other night, right, with Greg Ellison. So, yeah, the CFL, wow. BC Lions? I mean, the total was 48.5, guys. The BC Lions scored 49. They scored like 49 points in the first half, basically. What was the score at the half? It was hard to keep up. I was there. It was one of those deals where it was almost shocking. Like, they scored so much that, like, basically, like, I lost track. Like, I thought it was the third quarter once, and it was only, you know, we weren't even at the half. I'm like, man, is it 42-6? I look up, I'm like, it's 42-6 at the end of the third quarter. And then I realized, no, it's not even the third quarter, it's halftime. Oh, yeah, the late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi. The Mightier 1090, ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut, the loudest station in the nation. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We throw it down on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, channel 159. We got a full house here this evening. Former minor league baseball executive of the year, Jason B. Takafin, will step up and in. We'll talk baseball with Jason. Mo Khan will throw it down with us. We'll talk NBA, NHL, NFL, CFL, USFL, and every other L in between with Mo Khan. So Mokard will kick it with us. We got Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babana. We'll do some handicapping. We'll take a look at the Stanley Cup final odds and Conn Smythe Trophy odds and everything else in between. So the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors, of course, did not play over the weekend because I don't know why they didn't play over the weekend. But they are playing on Monday night. The Boston Celtics are getting 4 points. The total is 212. We know the scenario. We've seen this script before with the Boston Celtics and both the Golden State Warriors. And in fact, they are a perfect combined 13-0 coming off a loss in the playoffs. And in fact, they are 12-1 against the spread. So I totally understand if you're going to ride this trend. The trend is your friend and you don't want to get in front of it. But as we stated on Friday night, every trend comes to an end, my friend. And I think this is the time. This is the time. This is the ultimate bet, isn't it? It's the ultimate bet. At some point, do you ride this all the way through? You say, all right, listen, I'm not going to get in front of this now. Boston are 7-0. They've responded every time off the loss. Yet the Golden State Warriors, this is their opportunity to put themselves in a real position to win the NBA Finals. This has been a back-and-forth series. This is a series that there's a slim margin of error for both teams, as we've seen. And here we are right now. And if the Golden State Warriors, it's another must-win situation for them. The Golden State Warriors don't win this game. They're going back to the East Coast, and they could, Boston could cut down the nets in front of them on their home court. And, if it doesn't happen, then they still have, they still have to beat them again in a Game 7 setting. If Golden State's going to win the NBA Finals, they need to win this game tomorrow. I think they will. We'll break it down. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Sunday, buddy, Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The Pips, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between, we're kicking it. All right, we got a full house here this evening. It's the calm before the storm right now. So tomorrow night at this time, the NBA Finals picture will be a lot clearer than it is right now. So as I was discussing earlier, if you missed our opener, is the Boston Celtics 7-0 straight up and against the spread coming off a loss in the postseason. And the Golden State Warriors are 6-0 straight up off a loss, 5-1 against the spread. So 13-0, combined 13-0 off a loss, these teams. Incredible resiliency that these teams have showed. And at some point, though, at some point, somebody's got to take this thing. At some point, somebody's got to step up. And I think that team and the person to step up is Steph Curry, right? Steph Curry's carrying the Golden State Warriors right now. He's on a mission. And there's been all the talk about, oh, KD this, and he's never won an MVP that, and, oh, he's just a shooter and all this other type of stuff. He hears this, and you can tell he's driven by this right now. And they're back home. So, for me, I get it if you're taking Boston because it is 7-0, straight up NATS, but every trend comes to an end, and I think this is where it comes to an end. I think Golden State win on Monday night. Let's bring in Mo Khan right now, TSN Radio and more. What's going on, Mo? How you doing?
I'm well. It's all Gabe.
We're doing all right, Mo. It's the it's a big week coming up here. Strange weekend, right? With no NBA, and the Stanley Cup starts on Wednesday. But nevertheless, it's nearly game time right now. And as I stated, so Boston have bounced back. Every time they lose, they've bounced back. It's been a very back and forth playoffs. The entire, it seemed to be the theme of the playoffs. A lot of zigzagging going on. But at some point, somebody's got to step up and take this thing. And I think tomorrow night is the night that Golden State take that step closer. And then they put Boston up against it. Like, this is a must-win situation for Golden State, in my opinion. Once again, Mo.
No question, Gabe. And I thought when we spoke last week about how we would forecast the next two games in Boston, I thought it would be 2-2 going back to San Fran as it is going towards Monday night. And I think when you look at that fourth quarter, and I rewatched it on Saturday to see how that played out, it was guys like Klay Thompson who we questioned, right? Can he play better? And he did with some clutch plays in the fourth quarter. Andrew Wiggins played phenomenally well in that fourth quarter to lock down Tatum as he did. And then it gave Steph Curry that respite needed for him to come out there and close out that game as he did in that fourth quarter. And I just thought in that context, even though Draymond Green was not that great in Boston for 3-4, they played the best they could. And now they go back to San Fran where, Gabe, as we said before, if the Warriors get that fifth game five victory in their back pocket, puts more pressure, more onus on Boston to win that game and force another game in seven. So I think right now for Boston, they got to be able to use their size, their length, to much more better efficiency than what they couldn't do in games four. If they can do that, maybe you get Golden State on their heels, and if Boston can get off to a faster start than before, then perhaps they can perhaps be in that fourth quarter and get themselves that victory going back to Boston for game six.
And you know what's crazy, actually? It might actually help Boston if they're on the road. They're better on the road than they are at home. And I know it sounds crazy to say that, but if they're able to win this game tomorrow, like, there's no guarantee that they would win at home even after. You know what I mean? I'm not sure they would.
Yeah.
They don't seem to handle the pressure at home, and then imagine the pressure of actually with the trophy in the building. It would be like, wow. But the stakes are high now, right? Here we are. We're 2-2. It's the best of 2 or 3 series right now. Curry's had a couple of more days to rest. And you talked about Andrew Wiggins a little bit. And I tweeted out something during the game on Friday. And I said, no matter what happens, because it's easy to forget people's performances, especially if the team loses, right? Like if the team loses. But whatever happens in this series, Wiggins has brought it, man. Like the level of consistency that he has played with, you know what I mean? Like you just talked about Draymond. Klay hasn't been great. He's getting a little better now. Draymond is like basically terrible. Jordan Poole is kind of absent. He's, you know what I mean? He's not doing anything. Wiggins is that guy, bro. Wiggins has been the most consistent guy after Curry. He had massive plays on the glass, you know, key baskets and clutch time, saving them in the shot clock and playing great defense. Wiggins' reputation has really, really, you know, grown, man. Like, people like Wiggins has earned a lot of respect from fans, media, players, and everybody else in between.
Yeah, and let's not forget, he was an all-star this year, right? I mean, people forget about that. Like, he was an all-star this year for his play. And I think we spoke about it last week, Gabe, for what his role is in Golden State. He doesn't have to score 25 points like he did in Minnesota and be the man and still lose. Here, his role is this. Lock down the top player on the opposing team, as he's done with Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, and others in series past. If you can give us 15 to 20 points, amazing. And I think now for where he's at right at this moment, he's in the best mindset as a basketball player because now he can go out there and not feel the onus or the pressure to go and score 45 points and be the man. I think now for him to be the facilitator and to be that link-up player going from one end of the court to the other end and being in that transition phase here, he's done remarkably well. And I think his basketball IQ, which people don't talk about, Gabe, he has a very high basketball IQ to understand the angles and nuances on the court to use to his advantage. And if he's going to go out there on Monday night and be a big-time player, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets 20-plus points and maybe 10 rebounds as he was effective in that game four win in Boston.
Yeah, you know, one bet, guys, that we've been hitting game after game after game, and he keeps cashing, is over under 1.5 3-point shots made, Mo. And, you know, he takes about 6, 5, 7. You know, he gets a couple of open looks, and he'll take them. And we've been consistently hitting this prop. You know, the other night we had Curry over the 4.5, Klay over the 3.5, and Wiggins over the 1.5, and they all cashed. And once again, we have Wiggins at 1.5, minus 140. So I'll definitely click this. Klay Thompson, 3.5. We're going to click this. And Steph is 5.5. It's usually 4.5 on the road, 5.5 at home. So I say, I say this is it. This is where the streak gets broken, man. That Boston will lose back-to-back games for the first time. And look, we saw this happen with the Tampa Bay Lightning too, Mo. Right? There was a lot of talk. Oh, they're 17-0, and like, you know what I mean? Like they never lose back-to-back games, and then they finally did. I think this is where the Boston Celtics lose back-to-back games for the first time, Mo. Who you got tomorrow?
Yeah, I got Golden State, Gabe. I really do think the Warriors have that cutting edge, that dynamism that they were lacking in the loss of Game 1 and Game 3 when they did lose to Boston earlier in the series. And I think the key for the Warriors, if Boston does get up to a fast start, it will keep them and give them a puncher's chance here. But it's going to be the depth play of Golden State, the Kevon Looney's, the Pools that come out there, the Gary Payton Jr.'s that come out there. I think Gary Payton's the guy to watch out for because with his minutes, he only played 10-plus minutes on Friday night, they went over Boston here. He doesn't have to score 10-plus points. All he has to do is make sure he plays that tough, hard-nosed defense, that no-cal style of basketball from where he is, and be that guy that can come out there and provide Steve Kerr quality minutes to give Klay Thompson, to give Steph Curry that, you know, 3-4 minute break here so that they're fresh going towards second half, if not the fourth quarter, to close out that game.
Mo Khan, kick it with us. Late Night Anger Management Class, I am Gabriel Morency. So, one thing about Wiggins, too, I guess, you know what? One thing with him, he has always been very consistent, actually. That's the thing with Wiggins. It's almost like robotic, right? Like that, and people thought, you know, maybe you could get more from him or whatnot, but, like, he really has been very consistent. I mean, he'll give, you know, when he was in Minnesota, he'd score 22 points basically every night, right? Like, you know, he'd show up, he'd score 22, 23, and that was that, and he'd go back home after. But, man, the defensive, just, you know, the clutch plays, man. And, you know, Goran in our chat talking about him being the MVP. He won't win, but he definitely has been massive for them. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Nobody wants to hear the nonsensical ravings of a loudmouth malcontent.
Well, too bad. This is Sports Rage. I am the loudmouth malcontent. Gabriel Morency, SiriusXM Channel 159, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Mo Khan kicking it with us right now. TSN Radio's Mo Khan and more. So we're talking about Andrew Wiggins. I was talking about his three-point shot prop, guys. So in this series, he's 3-1. He went 2-for-7, 2-for-3, 1-for-6, 2-for-6. So he's generally, he's been pretty good at hitting like two of these. And this is why, listen, it's not like he does it all the time. Like going in the past against Dallas, he was 0-for-7 one night, 1-for-3 from 3, 1-for-5. But he's also 3-for-5 and 3-for-8. But as we always talk about, when you're betting a three-point shot prop, it's not so much like you look at like what the player, what's his percentage, more so like how many shots is he going to get? Like, you know what I mean? And as we stated earlier, like Wiggins generally takes 5, 6, 7, as we see, you know, 2-for-6, 1-for-6, 2-for-3, 2-for-7. And the 2-for-3 game, that was a blowout too. They won 107, and he only played 31 minutes. So I think back home, guys, I'm going to play this again. We're going Wiggins. I just put $100 in it already. I got it at minus 140. It's usually like 160 or so. It's usually a little bit higher. But so, Mo, I think Golden State get it done tomorrow. And I don't know. I think they're going to get it done tomorrow, and then they probably win in Boston, actually. I think Boston, under pressure, will have a hard time. Like, put it this way. If Boston wins, Mo, I think, tomorrow,
right. Then
Golden State will win in Boston, and it'll go 7. But if Golden State win tomorrow, I think they can go to Boston and finish them off.
Yeah, I still know Boston can beat the Warriors and San Fran three times in the series, Gabe. I don't know if they can do that, right? I mean, and we can hail their exploits as being a road mentality type of team here to go into anyone's backyard and beat you up. But in this context, for what the history has presented, I know we can't talk about the past being the present here, but the wealth of championship pedigree that this Warrior team has, from Draymond Green, from Clay, from Steph Curry, from Steve Kerr, and that's going to be fascinating to see how that coaching matchup goes tomorrow. Because, again, as I said before, I didn't think Boston was able to flex their muscles enough with their bigs on in the paint battle that they had with the Warriors on Friday night. Can they win those second and third chance opportunities to reset the clock and recycle that ball in possession? Because if they can do that, it just puts more on the heels of the Warriors. And if you remember in games one and games three for how it played out for Boston, they had the Warriors on their heels because they won those rebounding battles and created second and third chance opportunities to win those points here. So if the Celtics can use their size and get that in their advantage, then maybe they do have a punch of chance going towards the fourth quarter. And perhaps we're talking about Boston going up 3-2, but I think Golden State right now has the momentum and the focus to go out there and go back to Beantown up and hopefully closing out that series for their sake.
That was my thing, and I've said it a couple of times, guys, through this series. You know, Mo, I think Boston are probably better team, technically. You know what I mean? They are. Yeah. I mean, you know, they have they're younger, they have better players that are playing better. You know, Draymond's not playing well, Jordan Poole's not playing well. We can go down the list of, like, the Warriors. I mean, it's really Curry and Wiggins, and, like, they're, you know, he's dragging them to the finish line here type of deal. But to me, was the difference is the psychological toughness, the mental toughness that Golden State have. You know what I mean? Like, winners win, man, and it's hard to win that first time. And you see, like, you know, case in point, just look at Boston. We can talk about Boston, how great it is that they always bounce back off a loss, but they have a hard time, Boston, stringing together two consecutive wins as well, Mo. That's another problem for Boston. Like, they'll play well, and, like, right on cue, they don't. It's amazing, isn't it? Like, it's just back and forth with these guys.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you think about Boston's body of work this year, Gabe, they were terrible coming out of the gates. They were average. We didn't suspect that they'd be here.
It was like three games under 500, actually, in January.
Right, and back to that point of January, late Jan, they turned it around, right? They bought into the system and said, okay, look, bleep it. We're going to go out there and play our game and play hard-nosed basketball. We're not going to have the talent of the guys to be flamethrowers out there and beat you from all angles here. And that's what they did. They came in there with that mindset, that tough mindset, that hard-nosed, not Detroit Pistons style of basketball, but that sort of DNA that, hey, on any given chance here, we're going to go out there and hustle and win those loose balls and get that chance to go through with the junkyard dog type of play, get 2 points, about 3 points here. And that's been their calling card. That's been their DNA. But can they go out there and, first and foremost, Gabe, not get into foul trouble and get offset by that? Because if they glitch up with the fouls early on here, then that could be a real issue for them going towards the fourth quarter, because Al Horford did not play 30 minutes on Friday. How healthy is he in terms of where his youth or his legs are right now, being a longer in the tooth of a basketball player? So I'm curious to see the gas right now for the Celtics. Do they have enough in their tank to force a game six where they're up 3-2, or maybe chasing that series going back to Boston in a few days from now?
It's going to be a great atmosphere in San Francisco. You know, as you mentioned, now that they've had a couple of days to rest, I think the pace, guys, we talked about it on Friday night going into the game. And I even said, I said, you know what? It's probably going to land around a 202, 203, 204 or so, and it did. That fatigue would kick in a little bit more. They played Wednesday. It's been a weird schedule, right? So they played on Wednesday, yeah. Then there was the quick turn. Then they played on Friday again. So now they've had a couple of days. But to me, I expect the Golden State Warrior role players and the guys that really haven't done very much, to be honest, to do something tomorrow. I think Draymond will be better at home. I think Poole will be better tomorrow night. I think Clay has sort of turned the corner a little bit. He's not going to give you 30, but he can give you 20 type of thing, 18, 20, whatever, in that range. But, you know, I think Golden State show up and play well tomorrow, Mo. I think their offense is going to click. Their three balls are going to be raining. They know, bro, they need to win this game, right? They know. Like, and, you know, I think Boston are going to be in a tough spot. I like Golden State a lot. I put a nice big play on this already, Mo. I like the Warriors tomorrow night.
Oh, no question. No question. And to reiterate that point, that for the way it's gone in this series here, and you bring up Klay Thompson, and look, he's been criticized, rightfully so, for not shooting the ball well. But as I made the point to you last week, in closeout games against Memphis and Dallas that they had, he was phenomenal. And in a way, even though Game 5 will not be a closeout matchup here, in a way, it feels like it could be a closeout matchup for the Warriors because they could kill off Boston up by Thursday night for Game 6. And Klay Thompson, when you think about that cerebral assassin mindset that he has, Steph Curry has it. He's an alpha dude. But Klay Thompson isn't too far off in terms of his ability to go out there and make a clutch shot. And I think he definitely has that in him to go and maybe drop in 15 to 20 points and have those dagger moments in that fourth quarter to give the Warriors a 3-2 lead going back to Boston.
How ridiculous is that, as you mentioned, Thursday night? So, like seriously, like we're playing two games a week, essentially.
Well, that's because of the Stanley Cup starting on Wednesday, right? So you don't want to offend, and because ESPN ABC has the rights for both events, they want to overlap each other, right? So I guess that's why they're going with the Monday, Thursday, and Sunday schedule coming up this week.
Yeah, imagine if it goes seven, it's next week. It's 7. Oh, my God. Like, are you kidding me, man? Talking about, like, the regular season schedule. Like, they got to do something about this. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people like us, we live this stuff. We love it. But yeah, you're a casual fan, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you forget about it. Right? It's like, who, what? When's it on? Like, oh, in 4 days they're playing again? You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you can't, that's the one good thing about hockey. You know what I mean? They get into that flow, man, and you know. Yeah, we're playing every 48 hours, man. Doesn't matter. We'll see you in 48 hours, right? And you're getting into that rhythm. Okay, so speaking of which, the Stanley Cup starts on Wednesday, as Mo Khan just alluded. The Tampa Bay Lightning have now won 11 straight playoff series, the third longest streak in NHL history. The Montreal Canadiens, 1976 through 80, won 13 consecutive playoff matchups. And the Islanders from 1980 through 1984 won 19 straight playoff series. So what a matchup we have, Mo, between two heavyweights, man. Two heavyweights, the two-time Stanley Cup champion, Tampa Bay Lightning, against the Western Conference power, Colorado Avalanche, who have accomplished everything except a Stanley Cup championship for MacKinnon, Landeskog, and company. What's your take on the series?
It's fascinating. I think the NHL has hit a home run to have headline box office teams like Colorado and Tampa back there to defend their cup. And I think for Colorado, what I want to know is how healthy is this team going to the cup final. They're lucky to get that break after sweeping the Oilers. But we can go back to that point, and John Cooper made a good point in the post-game press conference after the win over the Rangers that you know, New York caught us because we had a longer break. And the thing is, it kind of turned because we figured it out, and we were able to win four straight. The thing is, in games one, and if not games two, will the lull be something that will circumvent the Avalanche, who had momentum all throughout the Blue Series and all throughout the other series, and trying to get off to a 1-0 lead, if not 2-0 series lead, going to Tampa for 3-4. So I'll be curious to see how Colorado will react with them hosting games one and two. Whereas for Tampa, they just put on Saturday. They'll be in a rhythm going towards Wednesday night game. And I think right now, for how the series plays out, I think Colorado has a slight edge, but Tampa, though, Gabe, has that DNA to go out there and win perhaps the third consecutive Stanley Cup in a row.
It's almost like Boston and Golden State, in a sense, as far as the one team already has that DNA. A little bit different with the Lightning because they're in their prime right now. Guys, this is their third consecutive Stanley Cup appearance, obviously. And just to put it in perspective, the last team to do this, Edmonton Oilers, 1983 through 85. Mo and Mo on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Do you have a gambling problem?
No, I enjoy it. It's a hobby.
Yes, we keep telling you yes. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. We got Mo Khan kicking with us right now. We pick up the pieces. Hopefully you had a great weekend. A lot of stuff went on over the weekend. I know a lot of our guests and viewers, a lot of people we know are out at games, races, golf tournaments, and everything else in between. The RBC Canadian Open, Rory McIlroy won, and we actually liked Rory. We told you guys he won before. He's the last time he played there. He won. Remember, Mo? Like, there's a GIF I use it sometimes. Rory at the Raptor game. Rory's a Raptor fan. he actually is too. Like he went and he they gave him a jersey and all that. Like he went to a game and then he won, and it became real. I think he's buddies with Nick Nurse now and stuff. Like because I remember even after Rory during the playoff, I think he was tweeting about the Raptors. Hey, good job guys, and you know what I mean. I think he posted a picture of himself in the Raptor jersey and stuff. Like saw him after the interview today. He was talking about how much he loves playing in the Canadian Open. This guy.
Yeah, Rory's also a big Manchester United soccer fan too, so you can throw that in there. But this Canadian Open, and you know, speaking to a couple of
Nick Nurse coached in England too, right? So we were talking about some English stuff.
Exactly, and speaking to a couple of buddies of mine who saw the last few holes of the Canadian Open, you know, it's remarkable, Gabe, because we talk about this Open and how you know people think it's the forgotten tour event of the PGA, right? Because remember back in the days, it was after the Open, the British Open back in July. No one will come to it. And now it's a week before the U.S. Open, and people are saying, well, will people come to it? I think it was a great event for how it was displayed for Canada, and to have how the shot-making was in that last day was remarkable. So I think for the Canadian Open, you can definitely hold your chin up high, given what's going on right now with the LIV event, taking the headlines and some of the top hitters towards their side of the ocean here. So I think overall, a good event for Canada, for the Canadian Open, and now moving forward here, can they sustain that momentum for years to come with this event up here?
I think they can. I think they can, and it's a good point. It was great golf. There was great golf shots made, and also, and listen, I was out and about myself this weekend, but I did see, I was watching some of it, and man, the crowd was electric, Mo. It was almost like Arizona at some, you know what I mean? It was almost like the waste management type thing at some point. Like you saw a bunch of psycho Canadians. Look at the crowds, man. I'm actually, the highlights just passing right now in front of me. Like, the crowd's like crazy. There was a ton of people. They were loud as hell. They're drinking or on each other's shoulders. It had that, like I said, it had a real big tournament feel to it. And you said it too. I think the players, and I brought this up last week, I think the players, they're going to play better golf now even. They feel like, you know what, we're going to show people like how damn good the PGA Tour actually is, right? And Rory said that after, and he made a point of it, saying it was nice to beat the best players in the world in a deep pool, right? And he's talked about, you know, so you could tell that they look, man, Monahan was there, the head of the PGA. He doesn't always go to the Canadian Open, you know what I mean? He went. It was big time, like, and they delivered. The crowd delivered. You're right. I think it couldn't have went better for RBC and the Canadian Golf Association and everybody. Massive success.
Even the PGA, right? Because with the headlines, you know, with LIV being the forefront for golf, I'm not saying it was a bad PR week for the PGA, but they need some positive momentum going towards the U.S. Open next weekend to say, hey, look, we have our guys still on this tour that want to be a part of it. And now it's going to be fascinating, Gabe, because this sort of can be like a USFL NFL, right, where maybe you see the LIV guys continue to poach those golfers to come play, you know, on their tour than the PGA. So these next 6 to 12 months to 18 months, I can't wait to see how this plays out, because this might bring more headlines for the average fan to watch this golf event, whether it's here for the PGA or overseas with the LIV events.
You know, I think there's a lot of similarities between the PGA and the NCAA. And just in the sense that they have a lot of power, but they kind of don't actually as well, right? Like if the universities just, they don't have to listen to the NCAA, you know what I mean? they don't have to, right? They can just say, well, we're not going to do that. Like, we're not. Like, we're going to hook up with these other schools, and we're cutting you out, right? And they, you know, it's sort of like a good example is like the college football playoffs, Mo, right? Like that, the NCAA has nothing to do with it, right? They can't tell them anything about anything, right? The NCAA tournament is different. The college basketball, that's their tournament. But, you know, it's sort of like the PGA, the PGA mold, they don't control the major tournaments. Like, the major tournaments are their own entity, right? Like, the U.S. Open is the U.S. Open. They don't have to listen to the PGA. Like, they don't, you know what I mean? They have nothing, you know what I mean? They don't, yeah, they work with them, but, like, they don't have to listen to them, right? They're like, it's, the Masters going to do what they do. Like, you know what I mean? Without the, you know what I mean? So, I think the major tours, and in all honesty, too, Mo, I don't see how you can. I understand the PGA. I totally get the PGA saying you can't play in this event if you do this because it's an invitational. You know what I mean? You, no, this is our tournament. We're sanctioning it. This is our tournament. You can't play here. I get that. But I also get, like, the major tournaments saying, yeah, if you play on the LIV Tour, you can still play in our event. Because quite frankly, Mo, they'd get sued. Like, what's your legal ground? You don't have a legal ground. Right, like, you can huff and puff and scream all you want, but you know what's your, like, what's the legality of this? So what? I played overseas and I can't play even though I'm eligible or I'm a former winner? No, dude, they're going to end up in court. Like, they would get sued and sued hard and rightfully so. So that's what I'm saying. Like, so the PGA Tour, I guess, but you know, if you're a younger guy and you just take this money, like, to me, like a guy like Dustin Johnson. He's just sort of like, to me, it's just sort of, it's so lame, Mo, that, like, you're willing to drop sort of competing. You know what I mean? It's almost like retirement money. I get it.
He's an RG guy.
Yeah, exactly. He put a knife. Like, that's my thing with him. It's like, bro, okay, and even the LIV thing, you tell him, listen, I'll come and play the LIV thing, but RBC's paid me a lot of money over the years. All right? They've been with me, and they have a big tournament next week. I can't screw those guys over. Right?
No.
But, no, he doesn't care. And, you know, it's just the whole thing, like Rory said. And, I, you know, I'm not going to get into the moral issues and all this, because whatever. I mean, we're all hypocrites when it comes to that stuff. So, but I'm just talking from a competition standpoint. Like, if you're Dustin, you've pretty much given up on the world, and you're basically saying, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever. It's like playing like a residency on, you know, like some island for the rest of your life. It's like, well, I'm going to be detached from society kind of for the rest of the world, but I'm going to make $180 million. So, right? He was already making good money, too. I don't know. To me, it's just I'd want to compete, but I'm not calling him out from an ethical standpoint and all this. You know, it is what it is. People are kind of flipping out. I think they're making more of it than it really should be. But I do understand all sides of it, Mo. You know what I mean? I understand the PGA. I understand the majors. I understand the people. I understand everybody. But I don't look downly, like, on the players, like, morally. You know, I think they're kind of sleazy, some of them. But just the fact, like, from a competition standpoint, it's kind of weak to me that they're just willing to give up their careers. And also, the PGA Tour made these people, Mo, right? Like, the sponsors, the tour, like, that's why, like, the only reason, like, Sergio Garcia is known is because of the PGA Tour type thing, right? Like, the lack of loyalty that they showed was pretty bad as well, bro, I thought.
And also, let's not forget, Greg Norman. Remember, he's a part of this whole LIV thing, right? I remember reading this last week that 30 years ago, he had an idea to kind of his own renegade breakaway tour, and the PGA kind of kiboshed him and took away some of his ideas and apply it to their events, right? So, you know, Craig Norman wants to go out there and kind of bleep off and say F you to the PGA, say, hey, look, I got the wealth now of these backers from Saudi Arabia to go out there and poach your top players to come play overseas and be a part of this whole tour, whether we play here, the UK, or North America when we come out to that part of the world. So this is going to be very fascinating to see how this goes forward with some of the money that we'll be throwing. And you're right, Gabe, because if you're a young kid and you know you can get yourself maybe a guarantee of $6 million to be on the LIV Tour, why not take that money? Because you're not guaranteed anything at all with the PGA, who, as you said before, are somewhat like the NCAA when it comes to that so-called iron fist with his players on the tours that they have.
Mo Khan kicking it with us. So, Mo, Max Verstappen wins today, Azerbaijan. One thing that's going to be nice. Yeah, I did. I nailed it. I put a nice play on it as well. One thing I'm going to like, though, Mo, I got to be honest, and I was up this morning. It came on, like, real early / late, whatever you want to call it. But it's the one problem with F1, man. Some of these start times, Mo, they're real killers, bro. Right? They're real. You either got to be, you know, you're either, like, put it this way. If I'm hammered and I'm up late, I'll see it. Or, like, or it's like, yeah, I mean, it's hit or miss with the start times with this stuff, but it's going to be nice in Montreal. I imagine the city is very excited. Well, it's been 2 years, right? It hasn't been there?
3 years.
Three years? Wow. I thought it was two off the top of my head. So, wow. So,
yeah.
What's the feeling? I imagine there's a lot of excitement with the circuit coming back right now.
Yeah, there's a buzz. I would say starting Monday, moving towards Tuesday, when the F1 teams arrive from Azerbaijan, that it's going to pick up, Gabe. And you've been here a few times. You've been through a few rodeos with the F1 weekend, as we all have. And it's sort of like, for those who've never been to Montreal for an F1 weekend, it's sort of like the race version of Super Bowl week in Montreal, because there's parties galore. Everyone from the world is here in the city. But we spoke about it before, Gabe. With Miami now in the fold in Vegas, about to come into the F1 world, Montreal has to figure out, how do we get those fans to continue to come up here, because we don't want to lose that business to Vegas, to Texas, and to Miami. So I'm curious to see what they do now for the coming year or so, for the next couple of races in Montreal. Can they still have the same allure, that same lust that people love this city for, you know, being nearby the racetrack, being off the island of Montreal by subway, by 10 minutes or so. So I'll be curious to see how this plays out, Gabe, because it's been away for 3 years. But can Montreal have a bang when it comes to the weather and the event being a successful place to be here for the next 4 or 5 days in the city?
And, you know, the parties are unbelievable. They shut all the streets down, and but you are right, because, you know, for years, for a while, they were the only North American race, even, right? So, like, if you want to see F1 in North America, you had to go to Montreal. Now you don't. Now you don't, right? You can go to Miami. You can go to Texas. Next year, you can go to Las Vegas. You know, they really started out. I got to tell you, Mo, it's funny, too, because, you know, I follow F1, and I bet on it. I love this stuff. But never watched a Netflix show before. And I even have Netflix. I never watched it. I only watched it for the first time last week with the show. And I'm like, damn, this show is pretty good. I understand, like, people. But it's pretty crazy. Like, I guess that show, Mo, like, people, like, that don't even, like, you know, car racing or Formula One and stuff like that, like that show and then started, like, there's literally, like, you know, countless fans, like hundreds of thousands, not millions of people, Mo, to watch this show, and then now we're going to the races and stuff and are down. Like, they watch it, they like it. That's the one thing with F1. It doesn't, like, it delivers what you think. You know what I mean, Mo? Like, it's a nice, neat package. The race is fast. There's hot chicks. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like it delivers. Like, if you go, you're not like, oh, that was over. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, that's overrated or that's overhyped. You leave there, you're like, man. Yeah, you're like, man, I want to go. I'm going to come back next year, right? Like, there is something to it. And we'll wrap up with more on the other side. Late Night Anchor Management Class. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anchor Management Class, man. Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio flying by here. So Mo played football, great wide receiver, and CFL season started. USFL is rolling along right now. It's going to be cool with the playoffs in Canton, championship game in the playoffs in Canton, Ohio, at the Hall of Fame. That's going to be cool. And so CFL started. You know, I would like to get you on midweek or some of these games. You know, there's not point spreads out. There's a few spreads right now, but pretty good play, quality football in week one, Mo, in the CFL, man. And BC Lions, 34,000 people, 34,000 tickets sold, and they delivered, man, right? Like, they hadn't had that many people in years. 34,000, new ownership group, really promoted the game, the season, very, very hard, and it paid off. And then a team scores 59 points, man. Nathan Rourke, Ohio Bobcat quarterback, lit it up, man. He lit it up. Standback gets hurt with the Alouettes. Owls play the Argos on Thursday. I tell you what, Mo, I think that Argo team's going to be a pretty good team this year.
Yeah, I think Toronto might be the royalty of the East and how they've been built up so far. And this is the year for them. Ryan Dinwiddie, the head coach of this team, has to get this team going the right direction. They have the pieces in place for the Alouettes. Not having to stand back there will put more pressure and the microscope on Vernon Adams Jr. Can he be the man? And there's questions building up here because Gabe, Kari Jones, the head coach, is on the hot seat, I think. And for Vernon Adams Jr., you wonder how long that leash will be with Trevor Harris in the wings. I think for Ottawa, even though they gave Winnipeg some fits here, I think Ottawa can definitely be a team to watch out for and how they can maybe slip by a team or two along the way in that division.
I look forward to talking CFL with you this year. Mo, it's always a pleasure, my man. Great stuff, great insight, as always. You know what, though? We sort of we got the music on the way out here. Who's winning the cup? Colorado, we sort of jumped around. Colorado or Tampa, who's winning?
I'm going to give the edge to Colorado, but it's just flipped, okay.
All right. He's got the Warriors in the ass. Mo Khan, great stuff, Mo. Thanks for the time.
Take care, brother. Bye.
This is Sportridge.